Well, good morning, Redeemer. It is great to be here with you today, whether online or in person. We just have a few quick announcements I wanted to bring to mind. Actually, I don't have a copy with me. That'd be wonderful. But if you could take a moment to look at your bulletin for any relevant information this week about... about any events that will be coming up here this next week and in the weeks ahead, such as the men's breakfast, which will be, I believe, next Saturday. For more information on that, as well as other events, please take a look at the church bulletin. As well as on the back side of the bulletin, you may notice a QR code there at the bottom for a way to give to the church to help support the ministries here at Redeemer Church. We encourage you, whether in person or online, to be sure to give. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to worship together, to worship you and what you've done. Lord, we just pray that this would be a time that we could enter into with great humility and trust that you are doing great things in our lives and you are truly worthy of worship. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you and your Son. We just praise all in his holy and precious name. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's good to see each of you here this morning. We're up here in the baptismal, and we are with Callie Simon, and she is wanting to be baptized this morning, so we're going to baptize her here this morning. Callie's a smidge nervous, but I did ask her to say just a little bit about why she wants to be baptized this morning.
I was just a teenager when I first got baptized, and I feel like between then and now I didn't fully understand, but since then my relationship with the Lord has gotten so much more personal and intimate, and it just feels like it's the right time.
Callie, based upon your stated doctrine and what you believe, I baptize. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's exciting. Good morning, everyone. Why don't we stand to our feet and start worship together?
Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Beyond the blue, I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Way beyond the blue.
Sing to Lord.
Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Do Lord, oh do Lord, oh do remember me. Way beyond the blue.
I took Jesus.
I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too. I took Jesus as my Savior, you take him too, while he's calling you. Do Lord, oh, do remember me. Do Lord, oh, do Lord, oh, do remember me. Do Lord, oh, do Lord, oh, do remember me. Way beyond.
Turn to your neighbor, greet them, and say, I'm so glad you're here today. All right, everybody. Let's shuffle back to our places. We're going to focus on the scripture for a moment here before we continue worship together.
Please remain standing for the reading of God's word. This morning I'm reading in Psalm 25, verses 1 through 10. To you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. May I not be ashamed. May my enemies not triumph over me. Yes, let none who wait on you be ashamed. Let them be ashamed who transgress without cause. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all day. Remember your mercies, O Lord, and your loving kindness, for they are from old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your loving kindness, remember me. On account of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he will teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek he will teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth for those who keep his covenant and his testimonies. Please remain standing for singing.
In the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. How marvelous, how marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. For me it was in the garden, he prayed not my will but thine. He had no tears for his own grief, but sweat drops of blood for mine. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. How marvelous, shall ever be. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. Step down into darkness, open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, oh so highly exalted, glorious in my God, and you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know, and I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. I'll never know, and I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. So here I am. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away, as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon his shoulder. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything. No gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his it paid my ransom. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom.
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you have paid it all. For what you did on the cross, covering our sins, something that we could never do, we could never atone for, we could never pay for, we could never sacrifice to do the very thing that you came here to do for us so that we could be with you. Lord, and we are unworthy and we are undeserving. And day in and day out we make mistakes. And day in and day out we disobey you. And you are gracious to us and you love us anyway. Lord, and I pray that we would remember that and we would remember just how much you care for us. And I pray that this morning we would open our hearts to receive what you have, because you do have a lot for us, Lord, and we're just not listening sometimes. So I pray that this morning we would listen and we would take in all that you have, and I pray that you would be with Forrest as he speaks this morning. And I pray that this week we would pray more, we would remember you, and we would know that you are with us every step of the way. In your name, Christ, I pray. Amen.
To be here this morning with you. If you're visiting with us, welcome. We're so pleased that you've chosen to spend the morning with us. This past week or so has been just a lot of work around here. Don has graciously agreed to fix a window that somebody decided to bust in our iconic front area. So we had a busted window, we've had plumbing problems and all. We have this pesky air conditioning unit. This air conditioning unit that just will not get fixed. And I think I'm probably holding on to it a little bit, just trying to hope that maybe we can just not have to replace it. But it's been going on for a couple of weeks now. And so it's leaking all over the floor, just making a big mess. And as the weeks have gone on, this past week has gone on, I'm just getting super frustrated with this stinking air conditioner. I'm just frustrated with it. I'm just like, let's get this thing fixed. Let's move on with our life. Let's go. Let's do something other than just wait for this air conditioning unit to just keep being broken. And this morning, I was spending some quiet time drinking coffee, half sleeping, and it was like the Lord was just saying, do you know what I'm even doing with the air conditioner? And I'm like, no, you're just a dumb air conditioner. It's just broken. He said, In your sermon, you're going to preach this morning that my involvement in the world is all about saving people from their sin. And do you have any idea what I'm doing with the air conditioner? And then I started thinking through some of the situations that we've been put in with the air conditioner and how that might be, I don't know for sure, but those might be opportunities where the Lord is working in the lives of the people that are involved also with the air conditioner, where he might be working. And I have to admit, the reality is I'm this person who is focused solely on the air conditioner, and I'm not thinking anything at all about what God is doing in this situation, how he might be using this in the life of a contractor, how he might be using this in the life of people here at the church. I'm not thinking about that. All I'm thinking about is I'm trying to figure out a way to get this air conditioner fixed. And this morning, it was just a really eye-opening experience because the Lord was saying, time out a minute. If you're going to preach that the thing that I'm super excited about and I'm trying to do, God speaking here, not me, if God's saying, if you're going to preach that what I'm doing in this world, that my top priority is saving people from sin, why are you so fussing about this air conditioner? And it really caused me to rethink a little bit about what I'm focusing on and where I'm at. And I thought, you know, the reality is that I might not be alone. There might be many of you here in the service this morning who are going along in your life, and the Lord is trying to work in your life or trying to work in your life through your life to the life of somebody else. The Lord is trying to work, and you're focused on what you can see. But you're completely disregarding what the Lord is doing in this situation. You're completely disregarding what God is trying to say to you or what God is trying to say to your friends or to your neighbors. And the reality is that there could be people who are sitting here in this sanctuary this morning who are in the position in their life where they know the reality is that God or Jesus or however you want to conceptualize that is chasing you. He's pursuing you. He's saying, I want to have an intimate relationship with you. And what you're doing is getting busy with air conditioners and jobs and whatever you have going on in your life. The reality is that there are some of you in here this morning who may be in the position where you know that you have at one time been in an intimate relationship with God, but things have gotten a little off course. You've drifted. And through various times over the past couple of months, the Lord has been trying to get a hold of your attention and say, hey, let's get back together here. Let's connect again. And you're like, no, I'm busy. I'm busy with work, and I'm busy with school. I'm busy whatever. And the reality is there may be some of you who are in here this morning who are knowing that there is the Spirit of God working in your life saying, chill out. I'm looking for someone to go to the next level, and I want it to be you. And you're like, God, I don't have time for that right now. I don't have time. I got this. I got all this stuff going on. And this morning, what I want us to do is we look at this passage in the book of Luke. What I want us to do is I want us to stop a little bit. I want you to put all that stuff aside, put all the air conditioners aside, put the homework aside, put the people at work that are bugging you aside and your to-do list aside, put them aside for a second and say, what is the Lord doing right now with you? What is he trying to convince you of? What is he trying to beckon you to? What is he calling you to? What is he doing in your life? And I want to invite you this morning to put all of those things aside and really listen to what is going on. Because we're going to look at a couple of verses in the book of Luke, chapter 3. If you have your Bibles, I'd invite you to turn with me to Luke chapter 3. And we're going to look at a couple of verses in this section where it's right before Jesus begins his public ministry, where he reveals himself to Jerusalem and says, hey, I'm the promised Messiah. Right before that. And so what the author of Luke does here is he tells the reader, this is what Jesus came to earth to do. And he explains what that is. This is why Jesus came to earth. And what I think happens for me sometimes
is I can be so busy in the things that are not what he's doing. Like I can be so busy doing things that are good, but I'm not doing what he's doing. And so this is a great opportunity for every single one of us to look at what is in the Bible, and it tells us clearly what Jesus came to this earth to do. What he's trying to do in your life, what he's trying to do in the life of your neighbors and your family members. So Luke chapter 3, starting at verse 21, and we're going to read verse 38, but we're not going to go all the way through that. But we're going to read 21, 22, 23, and 28. And in this section, we're going to learn a lot about what Jesus came to earth to do. We're going to get a sense for that, and I want to see if we can begin to pair ourselves up a little bit more with what Jesus is trying to do. Verse 21 starts off, one day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened. Verse 21, one day when the crowds were being baptized. Now this is a scene and a story, and the stories previous to this tell about how what was happening here is John the Baptist was going up and down the different sides of the Jordan, and he was baptizing people, and he would go out to have this baptism service, and people would come from the cities around, would come to the Jordan, and they would come to be baptized. And John was baptizing these people, and what he was telling them and what they were saying by this baptism is, I've abandoned my life of sin, and I'm pursuing God. I'm running away from sin. I'm choosing to follow God. And what verse 21 says here is, one day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. So you can imagine this scene. There's people all around, people watching the baptism, as well as people in line to be baptized. And Jesus comes, and he gets in line, and he goes into the water, and he's baptized. Now, this trips a lot of people up because they're like, whoa, wait a minute, time out. Jesus was perfect. He was never sinned, so why did he need to be baptized? He didn't need to be baptized, but he chose to be baptized. And the reason why Jesus chose to be baptized here is he was trying to identify himself with the ministry of what was going on with John the Baptist. He was saying, I'm not doing something different. I'm going to finish what John started. And we know that's what Jesus was thinking, because before John was born, an angel came to him and said, this is what John's going to do. He's going to prepare the way for the Messiah. Well, the Messiah shows up and he gets baptized. And he's affirming, I'm on board with people turning away from sin and pursuing God. I'm identifying myself with this ministry. Because that is the reason why Jesus came to earth. Jesus came to earth to save sinners. That's what Jesus came to earth to save sinners. Look with me at the rest of verse 21. As he was praying. So at this point, he was probably done being baptized, and he was up, and he was probably praying. And it says the heavens were opened. Most likely what this is referring to is the clouds moved and spread apart. So even though it might have been cloudy or there were some clouds in the air, there was a pure blue sky straight up above him. The clouds, the skies opened up. Now this is not the winds came off the Mediterranean and blew all the clouds away. It's not what it's saying. It's saying that the skies opened. Something happened. Now, lots of people probably didn't even notice because they weren't looking up at the clouds, but if people were looking up at the clouds, they would see, wow, that's weird. That cloud's going that way and that cloud's going that way. That's kind of weird. And that was the point. That was the point, is to verify Jesus' presence here, Jesus being baptized, Jesus' identification with these guys was part of the deal, was part of the plan. This was happening all along. And what we're seeing from this story, and what you can see from this story, is that Jesus came to earth to save sinners. He came at the right time. He came at the right time. Because if you look at all of the things that had to be in place for this moment to happen, you see that this was not a coincidence. This didn't just happenstance happen. It wasn't like Jesus was walking down the side of the road and he was like, oh, I think I'll go do this. John's ministry started 30 years before when an angel came to his dad. The people were getting excited about this baptism ministry, and they came to watch what was going on. All of this was orchestrated by God, and Jesus came at the right time. He was in the right time. It's interesting, this past week, just yesterday this happened, we've been trying to get our normal contractor to fix this air conditioner. Called him, texted him, he wouldn't answer his phone. I'm like, doggone it. So I didn't hear from him for a couple of days. So we went out and we tried to find another contractor to come and fix this air conditioner, the one that I'm talking about. This air, to try to come out and fix this air conditioner. And so we were connecting with him, and then all of a sudden he wouldn't answer my calls. And I'm like, what is going on? So then yesterday, the first guy texts me back and says, hey, by the way, I've been sick. That's why I haven't been answering your calls. And so then I found out that the second guy, he was sick too. And I'm just like, this, how can two guys both be sick? How can this work like this? And then I started putting the pieces together and I said, maybe there's something going on here. I still don't know what it is, but maybe there's something going on here, because the first guy was all set to come fix it and then he was absent. And then the second guy, I called him and he was all set to come fix it and then he was absent. And then I find out both of them were absent because they were sick. And I'm just like, the timing here seems to kind of indicate that maybe there's something going on. And if you look at the story about Jesus' baptism, you look and you see there are so many different things that are happening here. The timing is just right. And it's verifying that Jesus' ministry, Jesus came to earth to save sinners. This wasn't a happenstance event. This wasn't something that just happened out of nowhere. This was planned all along. The timing was too perfect to be unplanned. And what happens to us oftentimes is that when we're not looking for something, or when we're not paying attention, it's easy for us to miss things. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to say with me, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Okay? Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, that's probably something you don't normally think about, but what I'm going to challenge you to do this week is I want you to think about that statement. I want you to look for opportunities throughout your week to see where it becomes obvious that that's really, truly what Jesus is doing in your life or the life of the people around you. Because we don't think about that statement, we often miss it, myself included. But this is the reason why Jesus came, to save sinners. Look for that this week as you're going through your life. Look for ways in which you see that that's what Jesus is doing in your life. The second thing that we see as we read a little further in the story, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He was the right assign. He was the right assignment. He was the person that was sent just to do this. Look at verse 22. And the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. And what's going on here is that there are three persons in one essence that we know as God. When we think of God, it's actually three parts within him, three people within that essence. And it's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so what's happening here is all three people are showing up and saying, yes, Jesus is here to save sinners. Verse 22 starts off, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form. And Luke, in the original language here, he is very clear about saying, didn't look like a dove, it didn't look like a bird, it wasn't a 3D image, it was in a physical form. A bird came down on to Jesus as he was praying. A real bird, a tangible bird, a bird that you could touch and feel is a real bird. In a bodily form, descended on him, Jesus, like a dove. So Jesus is standing in the water, arms probably outstretched, praying, and a dove lands on his shoulder, or somewhere on him. A dove lands on him. And so for those people that are watching, and there are many people that are watching, they probably saw that and said, oh, that's weird. Like, birds don't just land on people in the middle of a river. Not everybody necessarily in the crowd knew that that was the Holy Spirit affirming what Jesus was doing. But it was definitely weird. It was strange for them to see that. It was arresting. And so Jesus is standing there, and a dove comes down, and it wasn't a dove, but it looked like a dove, came down and landed on him, and it was the Holy Spirit. And what's happening here is the Holy Spirit, the part of the one person of the triune God, says, I agree with what Jesus is doing. I'm on board with this. I vote yes. And then a voice from heaven said, this is a voice from heaven. This isn't, you had to have the right earphones to hear this, nothing. Everybody could hear this. They may not have understood the words, but everyone could hear this. It was a real audible voice from heaven who said, you are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. In an audible voice, and anybody who was listening or was paying attention could hear, God the Father from the opened heavens now said to Jesus, you are my beloved son. What you're doing, I agree with. And so Jesus is here. He's doing it. The Holy Spirit is coming in. And the Holy Spirit is verifying, this is what I want done. And God the Father is coming in and saying, yes, this is what I want done. And all three of them together are saying, this is what Jesus came here to do. Jesus came to earth to save sinners. Jesus was in line. It was identifying with the ministry of John the Baptist. And all three members of the Godhead said, this is what our plan is. Jesus is doing what we want him to do. And that's an important element for us to be able to think through and to process. Because there's a verification going on. There is an affirmation that this was not something this is not something that was haphazard. This was not something random. This was a part of God's plan from the very beginning. And all three members of the Godhead are saying, this is what we want done. So the challenge for us is then to begin to think through this process and to think through and internalize what happened there. I want to ask you a question. I just want you to think about it. I want you to think of the answer. I want you to think about if you were there or you were watching this going on, you're watching Jesus in the water and you were with the crowds and you saw what has happened, I want you to ask yourself, who was the dove and the voice for? Who was the dove and the voice for? Of all the people in play, John the Baptist was there baptizing, Jesus was there, all the crowds were there, the Holy Spirit was there, God was there. Of all the people involved, who was the dove for? Who was the voice for? How many of you think the voice was for John the Baptist? Good guess. How many of you think the voice was for Jesus? How many of you think the voice was for the Holy Spirit? How many of you think the voice was for the crowds? Okay, you guys are probably right. I don't know for sure, but that's probably what it was. It was probably for the crowds. Because they wanted to verify, both the Spirit and the Father wanted to verify that Jesus was doing what they wanted him to be doing. So Jesus came in this world to save sinners. He was the right assignment. He was at the right time. He was at the right assignment. And then the last two verses that we're going to look at talk about Jesus came in the world to save sinners, and he was in the right line. We're going to talk about genealogical line. Verse 23 says this, Jesus was about 30 years old when he began his public ministry, And then the end of verse 23 all the way down to verse 38 talks about this person begot this person and this person begot this person and this person begot this person. And at the very end, verse 38, it says, Kenan was the son of Enosh. Enosh was the son of Seth. And Seth was the son of Adam. Adam was the son of God. Whenever you see a genealogy in the Bible, it's always written in there to show you a connection to someone or to some situation. I'm saying Jesus was in the line that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. Jesus was in the genealogical line that went all the way back to Adam and Eve. And we know an awful lot about the Adam and Eve story. Because when we think about Adam and Eve, and people at this time, when they think about Adam and Eve, they would think about the fall, where Adam and Eve chose to rebel against God and to sin. Sin was brought into the world. And then in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God tells Adam and Eve, I will bring you a descendant who will break the power of sin. I will bring you a descendant, a child from your seed who will come, and he will stomp on the head of the serpent. He will break the power of sin. And what Luke is doing here is he's showing that Jesus is in line with Adam and Eve, the one who have been promised that someone would come and take away the curse of sin. And Jesus is in that line. And by drawing that line all the way back to Adam and Eve, the writer here is saying, Jesus is the fulfillment of that promise to Adam and Eve. Jesus came in the world to save sinners. That's what he's about. That's why he came. And that's what he's doing even today. He was in line with the promise. We have these a bunch of thermostats in the building, and we have these three different brands of thermostats. And it's kind of a pain because some of you can control altogether, some of them you have to go up and hit, and some of them you can program. And it's kind of a pain because we have to treat all of them differently because they're all three different kinds. But what we're doing now is we're trying to get all of them in the same kind. So they're all in line and they work together. So hopefully within the next week or two, we're going to have them all programmed and we're going to be able to control them all with one push of a button. And all of them are going to be in control. And the great part about that is because we're able to say all of these thermostats are in line. There's not one that's going off and doing their own thing. And that's the point that Jesus is making here, or this is the point that's being made about Jesus. Jesus is in the line. He's in the lineage. What he's doing is a fulfillment of that prophecy. What he's doing is he is bringing about the crushing of the head of Satan. The curse of sin is being annihilated. Jesus is in line. So what we've been kind of looking at over the course of this morning, as we've been looking at this story in the book of Luke, we've been kind of posing the question or thinking about, what did Jesus come to earth to do? What was his purpose? What was the reason why he came? And we see that as we look at this story, that Jesus came to save sinners. He came at the right time. He came and he was baptized at that time period because that was to demonstrate that that's the type of ministry that he was in support of. He came in, he was the right assignment, the Spirit as well as the Father as well as he was saying, this is what we're here to do. And he was in the right line, he was in the right genealogical line to be the person to come and to crush the head of Satan and break the curse of sin. That is what Jesus came to do. And he came to do that for the people when he was here on earth. And he's come and he's working today to do that in our lives and in the lives of people around us. He is here to break the curse of sin in people's lives. And this morning, what I want to challenge you with, and I want you to think about in your own life, is I want you to think about, are you in a similar way like I was, so focused on the things that are going on in your life, you're missing what Jesus is doing, what he's doing in your life, and what he's doing in the lives of the people around you. He's working around you. He's influencing you. He's working through the dynamics of your life. He's trying to get your attention. For some of you, he's trying to say, I want to be in an intimate relationship with you. Come into an intimate relationship with me. And maybe up to this point, you've been like, I've got plenty of other stuff to do right now. I don't want to think about it. Some of you may be here this morning and you may be in a position where you know that you have drifted from the Lord and you've drifted apart from the Lord. And you know he's calling you back into an intimate relationship with him. And some of you are here this morning and you know that the Lord is calling you to go to the next level. And he's saying, hey, we need to go to the next level. I want you to do more. And you're like, Lord, I don't have time right now. I don't have time. There's too much going on. And I want you to begin to just think for a moment. Maybe it's time to move. Maybe it's time to move. Maybe it's time to do something differently. You're running away from the Lord. It's not beneficial. It's not in your best interest. You're doing your own thing, and you're not participating in what he's doing and trying to do in your life. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for this opportunity to come into this place where we can be together with other believers. I pray that you would give us the courage now to begin to have a conversation with you about the things that we need to have a conversation about. I pray that you would help us to step out in a way. Help us to move. Help us to stop being distracted by the things that are going on at work. Stop being distracted by the things that are going on at school. Stop being distracted by the things that are going on in our neighborhood. And to be still and to listen. Because you are interacting with each of us in a way where you are trying to bring us to a place where you can save us from our sin. I pray that you'd give us the courage to do that. We love you and we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen. At this point of the service each week, we take these disposable communion cups. And if you didn't get one on your way in, if you just raise your hand, some gentleman in the back who will get those for you. This is an opportunity for us to remember what Christ did on the cross for us to allow us to be in a position where we could be saved from our sins. There's two parts. There's the bread and the cup, and I'll kind of take us through what Jesus laid out for his disciples as far as remembering both the bread and the cup. This is an opportunity for those who have entered into a personal relationship with God through Christ for them to remember what made that possible. If you don't have an intimate relationship with God right now, it's probably better to let this pass because it won't make any sense to you. You won't be understanding what's going on, or it's not something that's significant to you. But even if you don't go to this church or this isn't your church home, if you want to partake, you're more than welcome to if you have an intimate relationship with God through Christ. In the book of 1 Corinthians, we read, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself." On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." Said, "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And then he concluded with, "For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death until he comes again."
Would you all stand and sing with me one more time before we leave this morning? Thank you.
If you need someone to pray with you after the service, just come up front. There'll be people who'd love to have the opportunity to pray with you, hear what's going on in your life. If you need someone to talk to about your relationship with the Lord, where you're at or where you'd like to be, you can also come up front. There'll be plenty of people up here who would love to talk to you. I myself would love to as well. Now, all glory to God who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to him in the church, and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.